We saved the government.
We saved the world. Radio.
Are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
We saying what we want. Give it to you, not a gun. Any place, any time. I'm not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll. We never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Good evening, everybody. I am one of your co-hosts, Karen Ashley, and I mean, we are going to have an amazing show tonight. I have got the fabulous twosome with me tonight, Mr. Mikey. Mike J is in the house. How are you, Mike?
You know, I am really, really good, and I'm very happy to be back because I would have thought y'all would have fired me by now, but...
You've almost yeah. Like, has it been a month? Have you made your 30-day grace period, Mike? There's still time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Right.
Oh, man.
Oh, we're very happy to have you back. I have to say, we missed you. Even, you know, it's like, at the end of the day, it's great to hear your voice, and it's great to have you back. So I don't know if I've said that, but there you go.
Well, I do appreciate that. I think I can safely say that I may be one of the only co-hosts that has been allowed to be returned. I don't know about the rest.
I know. Well, you know what it shows? It shows that we're a forgiving bunch. It doesn't matter what goes down. We all, like, we move past it. Like, you just got to let go. You know,
everybody,
like, you know, it's not that serious, right? Life, especially since we just say United States of America.
You tell that to the ball and chain that Mama has wrapped around my foot making me post videos. I swear it's a punishment. Fuck you. Fuck you. Speaking of Mama, how's Florida?
What? Oh, am I on?
Right. Mama will use you. If you come back, Mama's going to use you till you're used up. That's what that is.
She doesn't even know that I'm here. Like, she's stuck in Canyon.
Mama, are you here? Because I'm telling the truth. I'll tell you the shit to your face. Mama will use you until you're used up.
This is true. I will use you until you're used up in your yesteryear television show, until you try to say that racism doesn't exist in this country, and I'm going to fire your ass quick as shit with love.
Right. With love. It's all done with love. And you sound like you have, a 1,000 cocktails tonight.
I am totally pulling in a Katrina, but I've been meaning to call in since Monday. But the problem is this is probably the least drunk I've been since Thursday. So,
wow.
You know, take it away.
Do I need to go to the black market and get the liver on hold? Like, we need
I need you to get a face on hold. So I'm going to do, I'm going to interrupt your show and do a 60-second recap, and hopefully I can keep it in 60 seconds and not go over it. But I'm not sure because I'm drunk. So here it is, ready?
That was 60 seconds in itself.
Hold on. Before you get to that, I've got to introduce Topher. Topher is here tonight as well. And obviously,
Topher
Mama.
Topher is not here tonight.
Topher is not here tonight.
What?
No. This is
he lied to me on national radio last night, world radio. We were on world radio, and I said, Topher, are you going to be here tomorrow? And he said, yes. Did I misunderstand?
No, he's not here. But we do have
Toya. You meant to say Toya.
Yes. Toya's here. Oh, my God, it's a party. James in the house. Jamesy, our producer, is in the house, and Toya Nash is also in the house. Give it up for them, everybody. Yeah.
Yes.
Toya,
okay.
Are you really going to settle for Karen's yeah? Am
well,
I shouting shit?
James should have pushed the applause button, but I don't think he knew I was going to put him on the spot.
10 seconds delay.
10 second delay applause. She knows she's famous. She knows we love her. It is.
I know.
There it is. Toya.
If you
the famous Toya
follow Toya Nash on Facebook, you would see that she posted today that bitch is not a wannabe working actress and singer. Bitch is a working actress and singer.
Yeah. You didn't know?
Right.
She is working.
And I, you know, it's being, people are loving it. And I, you know, my somebody replied, oh, somebody must have pissed you off. And I was like, not even in the least, but that is the question I get all the time. Okay, you do that, But what's your real job?
That is such a part. They always ask you what your real job is. And I'm like, look, because you can't think outside the box, don't mean I got to be locked up in that box with you.
and more than that, even bigger, it was for people who, because I get so many people who hit me up, whether it be they call in to something I'm on or they inbox me or whatever. First of all, with me, Facebook is never about me being negative. I don't have that kind of time. I don't really want to read the stuff I do read when people go off about their personal stuff. So for me, my page is probably boring to most people because, if anything, I'm putting quotes that inspire me. You know, we got enough stuff in the news speak about what's happening that's wrong in people's lives. So mine is always trying to help.
You know what we're going to send to you to put on your Facebook? We're going to send you one of our lovely little blow-up dolphins, because I hear that that is a hit, and people love dolphins.
Right. Next time Toya goes on her trips and she's on her world tour, we're going to give her a dolphin and see what that dolphin gets into.
I would love that. I would be so grateful. But can it be something? Can it be some kind of moving thing where, like, Jeff is running from it? Like, can we?
Look at it. It's what the hell is today? Wednesday? I'm tired because I've been moving a lot. And the dolphins tend to move with me. I brought them into the ocean, and people are like, why is this fat dude got a fucking bull dolphin with him everywhere? Like, and the best part is like, there's a bunch of old bitches here. So the old people are like, where's the dolphin? Because I feel like I'm at the, like, 70-plus, like, we're going to die in the next 10-year resort, which is fine with me because, you know, I don't like people and, you know, I love old folks school. It's fantastic. But they're all like, what the fuck is with the dolphin? Are you touched? Like, what is it? And I've been telling
back on the short bus.
Right, you're short bus. After senior citizen vacation.
You guys will see. I've been sending Mike photos the entire time. He's ready to kill me. I've been sending a few videos, which he sent to James. James, I love you. I've got a few more for you that I'm just going to email you to put on the website. And
why are you so excited, Jeff? That's what I want to know.
Why am I what?
Why don't you just embrace your gift? You're like the sea whisperer. I'm not going to even limit you just to dogs.
No, I'm like the fucking devil whisperer. It's fucking horrible. Like, the first night we were in fucking Florida, I, like, cut my fat ass out to the ocean. And I'm like, I don't really want to be here because I'm fat and I had to walk, like, fucking 10 feet. And I get out there, and I'm watching this school of fish, and, like, Joe and Scott are in the ocean, and, like, the fish are literally slapping them in the face because the whole wave is filled with fish. And then, sure as shit, all of a sudden, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, there's a shark. So, you know, I'm, like, standing on shore, like, jumping up and down like a crazy psychotic bitch. Shark! To which everybody starts looking because I'm jumping up and down like a crazy bitch. And then a mother sees it and pulls her tits out of the water, and I'm like, I fucking told you all. Fuck you. So the next day comes, and all
of
a sudden I'm...
Can I ask a quick question before you go on with the story? I just want to know when you were jumping up and down, were your man boobs bouncing?
Yeah, and it was horrible. Not only was my man boobs bouncing, but I burnt my face so bad that I'm not sure my skin color has been diagnosed at this point. Because I burnt, as you can see on Facebook, so horribly, I put just a touch of sun to where the point was I was crying any time breeze, breast, fingers touched my face. Because I've never had a burn on my face before, ever in my life. So, and I mean, I've been in sun a lot, and I just don't burn until 30. So fucking 30 sucks because I burnt my face and my neck. I got like 3 different kind of aloes from the resort shit, and none of it worked. It all burns. It's horrible. Last night I started peeling already. I mean, I was burned by Sunday. Yesterday was when? Tuesday. was peeling horribly. So I'm like scrubbing my face because I look like a fucking crocodile and I don't want to scare children. And now I'm red again, lost all of my color, and my skin is completely sensitive to right now. I have a breeze coming at me from the ocean, and I would like to smash my face into the pavement because it would hurt less.
Yes.
Oh. So, I would like everybody to know, sunblock, as much as my aunt from Arizona, she's like, you worked in Arizona, I told you about sunblock. Yes, but I didn't believe you for the last 10 years. So now
sunblock,
that I'm at 30, fucking sunblock is important.
Uh-huh.
Just going to say.
Yes.
For white people.
And you got to reapply.
Not,
like, you got to reapply a couple times a day. Like, they don't tell you that. But a couple hours. Every couple hours, you got to reapply.
Well, I've never,
like,
literally never used sunblock because I've never burned. And I thought coming down here, like, I still had a little color. So I thought I'd be fine. But guess not. So it kind of sucked a little bit, but it was okay. But the ocean, Toya, I've been trying to keep up with you on Facebook because it has literally been an everyday kind of crisis. And I keep going further and further into the ocean. I'm like, okay, I need to get smashed by 11 because I have to go out into the ocean because I'm going to report to Toya on Facebook and I'm going to let her know what happens. So every day, I literally made a goal on vacation to be hammered by 11 because it's the only way I will go in the ocean because I'm petrified of this fucking thing. So I've been drunk every day by 11. Get out in the ocean. Let's see. Yesterday was a manatee. No, stingray. And there's, like, my father, Joe, and
Joe. You know
the
crocodile hunter died from a stingray, I'm just saying.
Right, exactly. I'm like, okay, hello, Steve Irwin. So, like, I was a little hungover yesterday because I drank for a couple of days in a row since we got here. And the night before was my birthday, so I was hungover as shit. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to kind of lay in bed and watch Glee from last week, which was Corey Dude.
So sad.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later on. No,
or
next week.
Yeah.
When I'm back, or you guys can talk about it without me. But, so, whatever. I go out to the beach. And they're all in the ocean, and I see this shadow kind of bobbing and weaving in the water. Now, I'm sorry, but again, Toya, you know, I've been texting or Facebooking all week. I watch Shark Week. I know when I see a fucking shadow in the water, it's time to get out and game over. Like, it's not time to hang out and swim or tread water. It's time to fucking run like a fat bitch in heat. So I'm watching this, and I'm like, Ma, you see that? She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, right there. Like, that white girl right there. You see that? She's like, oh, shit, yeah. Well, all of a sudden, the girl sees it, and the fish comes hauling ass out of the water. Not mind you, this is after sharks and jellyfish, okay? At this point, I've been in the water, I've seen a jellyfish float, and then books did the Baywatch run out. Toya, you would have loved it. Joyce, my mother, God bless her, is the worst cameraman known to man, because there is a video where you see a huge wave coming in, you see my face, and then she's taping the sand. So, you could have seen the video of me booking ass out of the water like it was on fire, but you won't because my mother instead was taping the sand by her feet. So, this chick comes running out of the water like it's her job, and I'm like, we're trying to point to Joe, Scott, and my father, and like, dude, get out of the water because there's something. Like, we knew it wasn't a shark, but we knew it was something not good. It's going to hurt. Well,
right.
My father is literally standing 2 feet away from this thing, looks over, sees it. I've never seen the man move so quick in my life. Like, his facial expression is pure terror, and he just started booking ass. Like, you really would believe it was the second coming, because I'm pretty sure he was on top of the water. And then,
oh, my gosh.
Playing short pursuit behind him. Like, nobody's playing. They're like, oh, shit, that's going to kill us. We got to go.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it was just bad. And then, again, last night, they saw more sharks, and they're like, we got to stay out of the water at high tide because Jaws is going to get us. And sure as shit, my mother comes
thing?
Up.
Most of the shark bites and most of the people, the shark sightings, are in Florida. That's really where they hang out. So I'm not quite sure why you're even getting up in there.
Right, but here's the thing.
They're going to eat with a man boob, and then what?
And you guys will meet on the website page. Sushi has been on his own adventures, and he's got some photos with some ladies from Minnesota. And her birthday was Saturday, and she's like, bitch, don't get in the ocean. But she was really upset about my fear of flying and pretty much everything that moves, walks, and breathes on the planet.
I know. I'm like, you got a lot of stuff going on.
Toya, I don't know if you know this, but James and Jeffrey hold the record of things they're afraid of. James, I think, is a little worse.
I have realized on the way down here. Well, you can do the whole James things after, but let me just throw this out because I gotta go because I'm hammered and I really don't want to pull it, Katrina.
Is that why your mouth is
down,
so horrible right now?
Yeah.
I
drank like a bottle of rum. You're lucky I knew the number to call in. Mike was gonna stab me before the show. Because we were talking about something to do with the show, and he was like, literally in a 10-minute span, you've said the same thing 55 times. If you don't shut up, I'm going to kill you. So I know it's probably not a good situation because he wants to stab me. But on the way down here, I took Xanax. It's a whole new world. Whole new world, okay? Like, I'm like, I got to go to the doctor and get some of this shit. My mother was like, here's five. I'm like, Mom, I need like one. Don't they work for 8 hours? She's like, no, you need like two every four. It's a whole new world, girls, okay? Like, I'm thinking, like, I can conquer the world, because just give me some Xanax, and who do you need me to fly to? I'm good.
I have no idea what you were talking about right now.
What are you talking about? Because I was able to piece it together. He's no longer afraid of anything. He just needs Xanax so he can conquer his fear of flying. He can conquer all these things because he's been introduced to Xanax. And by the way, Uncensored Radio is not promoting prescription drug use.
Wait a minute.
That's on
him. We're totally promoting it if the doctor prescribes it because they're giving us a cut. If your doctor does not prescribe it, it's a problem, and don't do it.
Did your doctor prescribe it, Jeffrey?
No.
Yes.
The silence is golden.
Yes, because I let them replay the episode where I told Toya about my deadly fear of sharks and how I do the Baywatch run out of the water when seaweed hits me. And she was like, bitch, you need Xanax because you got fucking problems. Go ahead and tell
Toya. She is not your doctor.
On the advice of the show's attorneys, I need to break in for just a second and preface all of this with the show is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to replace or substitute for any professional, financial, medical, legal, or other advice. The views and opinions expressed...
not the views of the world. Although we saved America. We saved America. Me, Mike, and Topher saved America. Didn't we, Mike?
We did. We did, Miss Ashley. I am very happy to report that the Senate has approved a bill to end the government shutdown and help us all to avoid a default that would actually occur at midnight tonight. And has now been sent over to the House of Representatives, where they are expected to approve it, and then it will go immediately over to President Obama to be signed. It is still in the hands of the Republican-controlled House of Representatives. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying the House is Republicanly controlled. And then from there, we'll head on over to President Obama. But it looks like we may be in business.
Is it a coincidence that just yesterday we talked about this whole, I mean, we've been shut down for how many days? And we finally, Uncensored Radio, said enough is enough. We're going to talk about this. We're going to hit it head on. And now look what happens. 24 hours later, I'm telling you guys, 100,000 listeners, people listen. People listen to
that.
Booyah.
I'm telling
you
what. Karen Ashley, 2014.
Woo-woo.
2016. My bad.
2016. I know. I'm the smartest one on the show, so I'm not sure, and I've got a checker pass, so, you know, I don't know.
You'll be the write-in.
I don't know.
Karen, you'll be my write-in vote. Whenever I go into vote in 2016, I'll write
it in. Karen Ashley for press. Yep, that's
well,
it.
Well, listen,
okay,
we could.
Are you saying that because it was discussed yesterday?
Yes, we are.
Yep.
We saved
the government. We saved the government.
You can go ahead and finish your statement, Toya, but yes, I'll answer that. Go ahead. Just not unclear. We want you to be very clear about what we're saying.
Yeah. Yep.
Karen, somebody just said in the chat room, Johnny Dubell just said in the chat room, Karen Ashley, show Power Ranger pimp slap taxes.
Right, exactly.
There's your slogan.
Nice. 2016, Power Ranger, pimp slapping taxes, baby. You know it. That's right, Johnny. Keep them coming, babe. I'm going to need a lot of them. I'm going to need a lot to cover up for that checkered past. Uh-oh. What was that? Is that gas?
It felt like somebody had gas. I don't know what that was.
That was my iPhone being plugged in. Gee.
And you see, I blame the gas on Jeff. Poor Jeff.
Listen, that's not half as bad as some of the things you said last night.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, I was talking shit about you, Jeffrey. Where are you? Did he leave?
Jeffrey gone.
He left.
Yeah, he's gone.
He left. Oh, man, so I could talk shit about him again. I forgot what I was saying. I was just talking about the man boobs. I wanted to hear about the story where the wave hit him and ripped his shirt off and the man boobs are exposed. I need a video of that.
Could you please be immediately upon receipt? I mean,
it's going to be all over the web, girl. You're going to be like, it's a YouTube sensation.
I
want to
see a vine of him running from different, you know, sea things.
I just think
that would be off-sea. Like, it would have to be a different type of whatever.
Right. Right, whenever we get a budget and whenever we accomplish some things in our life, we're going to do a uncensored radio vacation, and that's going to be, like, part of our reality show. So all the radio hosts are going to be together, and we're going to make sure we get video of Jeffrey. We talked about last night, we're going to feed him to the jellyfish, and we're all going to take turns peeing on him to see if it really works, if pee actually stops the jellyfish sting.
You know, I think Mama and his husband are a fan of the golden shower. I do remember this conversation at some point. Just saying. Yeah, that ought to be.
Toya, what you talking about? Ew, you gonna have to pee on him too. That's how you. We're gonna go to a fabulous vacation, and the only requirement is that you pee on Jeffrey after we throw him into the jellyfish. That's the only requirement. It's going to save his life. Don't you want to save his life?
I mean, sometimes you got to go, you know?
See, we're going to promise you a vacation. Like, it's going to be great. I'm telling you.
Oh, man.
But there is an initiation.
There is. And it's peeing on your co-host. That's the official initiation for Uncensored Radio. But, you know, Karen, I feel like we've celebrated so many birthdays on this show. I mean, we had Katrina's Dirty 30 a few years back.
Uh-huh.
You know, mine was this year. We got Jeff's. Well, there's, you know, a list out there, which is probably going to make me feel like shit because I'm sure I haven't done half of the stuff on here, but there is actually a list of 20 things that every 20-something should probably know how to do. So I thought it would be fun, being that the majority of this panel is now over 30.
Right. See if we amount to anything.
to see if we are actually capable of doing any of this.
Okay.
Number one, believe it or not, make a great breakfast.
Oh, I got that. I'm a good breakfast cooker. Yes.
What you do?
I can do it in English or I can do it in Spanish. Like, you want Mexican breakfast or you want the... Yeah, I got it. I got that.
You ain't never made me nothing. I feel like... What I gotta do?
That's gonna be my initiation. When we go on the Uncensored Radio vacation, I'm making breakfast for everybody. Spanish.
Well, what's the Spanish one? Is that like the enchiladas? What is that?
It's like with eggs, but you can do like eggs and chorizo. You have beans.
Chiquitas.
Yeah. You've got tortillas. Yeah, it's the whole shebang. I mean, it's
good Lord.
Fun
that
to
sounds
see.
Like, you know, I'd eat it at 8 o'clock and have gas by 9:30. That's what
exactly.
That sounds
like.
Absolutely.
It's worth it.
I know. But you know what's funny is when you're Mexican, that doesn't happen to you because you're used to having that breakfast every now and again, you know?
Well, that's a Sunday
morning breakfast.
But more than that, when you know how to cook that food, you're using real traditional ingredients. When you get the gassy
right.
stuff, it's usually Tex-Mex nonsense.
Listen, I get nervous right. around breakfast foods because you guys all know the story about the time that guy made me the English breakfast and I shit myself all over the subway, all right? I get nervous around breakfast, okay?
I don't think Toya knows the story.
I don't want to know. I'm cool.
We went to London, me and Toya together. So imagine being on the tube and there's someone in the tube with you that is just shitting from Piccadilly Square to like the castle.
That ain't right. That's a long ride, Miss Ashley, from Piccadilly Square.
I lived in New York for 5 years. That happened at least once a month. So,
right. You did live in New York, yeah. So you're used to the
All right. Well, I had the month of November 2008 pretty much locked out.
that was my number
two train to Battery Park. But anyway.
Yeah.
So,
Toya, do you know how to make breakfast? You mean breakfast?
I mean, how hard is breakfast? I can't do something like what you would do, but anybody I'm like dating or in a relationship with, you know, that's usually the meal the man makes because it's so easy for him to do. I've had some amazing breakfast at the hands of a guy. So
you know what that means. You know what that means.
What's that?
The only time a man makes your breakfast if you just satisfied him the night before. Am I telling the truth?
I don't know what you're talking about. That means we just came back from church.
No comment.
Oh, man.
She's hiding behind the Bible. She's hiding behind
so
the Bible.
You have to make her go back to church after you're done with her.
For
breakfast, I'm the kind of, I'll pull out, you know, my little carton of egg beaters and, you know, make myself some scrambled eggs, maybe throw a little cheese and some ham on it. So that's about as far as I get. But this one, I think, I'd be surprised if really any of us on this panel know how to do this. It's Parallel Park.
I can do that.
I can do that really good. I don't even have to turn down my music. I'm a G like that.
Really?
You know why? Because we live in L.A. So in L.A., there's only street parking. So you learn how to parallel park real fast, real quick. And like with one hand. Yeah. And you're 20-something. You can parallel park?
I can parallel park.
Mike, what's up with you? What's up with that?
I didn't believe that. You didn't sound confident in your ability there, I have to say.
To pass my driver's test, I had to parallel park a car.
That's the only time I did it.
I do it quite frequently whenever I go to City Hall quite a bit, and it's all street parking at City Hall. So I'm pretty good at parallel parking. I can park an SUV, I can park a van, I can park a compact car, I can park a sedan, I can park a station wagon. I'm good.
Wow.
For a living, I used to drive and back up straight 18-foot moving trucks. 23-foot moving trucks. I can drive basically anything.
You used to drive a moving truck? Moving truck, is that what you said? Okay.
Yeah. Between 18, I think the biggest one I ever drove was like a 27-foot truck.
Oh,
and
wow.
I could back that up in a straight line. Back it up in a straight line and park it without hitting anything.
Since James is number one at backing that thing up, he's going to be the getaway driver if we ever commit a crime.
There you go. I agree. I like that. I don't know what's up with me. I mean, I parallel parked once for my driver's test. No problem. But I mean, this is how bad I am. You guys would think I'm probably crazy, and I would never be able to do this in L.A. if I moved there. But I am the type of person who will drive around the parking lot for probably 10 or 15 minutes until I find a spot that I can pull through. It has to be like a double row because I will not back into a spot and I will not back out of a spot. I need to pull through.
You're weird. But I do that too sometimes. I do that too sometimes. But honestly, if I got to get into that store, I don't care where I got to park. I'll back into spots. I'll do whatever I have to.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to go with it. So let's see,
like
something else.
That's very New York right there. It's like whatever it takes. That was the first place where, you know, I thought when I saw it on TV where cars would back into each other, you know, I thought that was just something on Seinfeld. They really do that in New York. It's like
oh,
that's
I
how
know.
They know
I mean,
you're in there. Oh, let me tap that car and then tap the front one. Yep, I'm in. True.
Yeah, that's parking is a challenge for me. But let's see what else we got on our list here. Write a cover letter. I mean, you guys all know what a cover letter is, right? When you're doing your resume and you're sending them out to your job. James, this is a good one for you, our, you know, job seeker.
I'm not a job seeker anymore, thank you. I am not a job seeker anymore.
You got a job?
Had, like, 99 job offers. That was so cool.
I had three freaking job offers in 1 week.
That's pretty amazing.
Out of four interviews, I had three job offers.
That's pretty good. So, that's good.
Kudos to you.
Anything, but,
in the range of fours, he got it all.
I tried.
I was busting my ass, though.
Like, I've been trying really hard for the last, like, 5 months to find a job, and I finally just let go of, like, you know, what I wanted, basically, like the comfy job. And I stepped out of my comfort zone, and I got a job, which is a job I've never done before, but it's something that's a challenge, and I'm excited to start it. So I just stepped out of my comfort zone with that, though.
I think we suggested that to you months ago, but I'm not going to take any credit for this. I've already taken credit
well, no.
for saving
well,
America.
No. But the thing is, two of the job offers that I got are jobs that I have done in the past that I would do again. So.
Okay. Well, good for you. Either way, we are so happy that you are employed and you did that because it's a huge accomplishment, but it's a great feeling to, like, not have one offer but three offers. You have, like, choices, you know?
I know. Honestly, I was praying to God for that. As I was putting in these resumes and getting calls back, getting calls for interviews, I was praying to God. I was like, please, you know, let me have some choices here. Please let me get a job one, but let me have options. And he answered my prayers. I'm very happy. I feel very blessed right now, and it's a feeling I haven't felt in a long time.
Jesus. I don't know.
I thought it was going to be like a whole song.
I know, right? I was about to back you up, well. I thought we were about to get one.
It felt like, you know, he needed a little chush. Just a little bit, though. I didn't want him to start shouting or nothing.
Yeah. We'll be, like, talking in tongues and, you know, yeah.
But, you know, like, But I'm just saying,
well,
I feel blessed right now. And
you are blessed.
That's a feeling I haven't had in a long time.
Good. See? And I would say everything happens for a reason. Like, I think now you probably have a deeper appreciation for these offers. You got a deeper sense of clarity in your life. I mean, I think there was a reason for that stretch of that break that you had, you know?
Yeah. I'm a lot happier right now.
Isn't there something in letting go? Like, you know, we talk about faith and stuff, but most of us don't have it. We pray for it, and then we keep praying for it, and then we keep praying for it, and then we keep praying. Whereas if you just
believe
it, you just do it and you let go, and it happens.
Mm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Amen.
Love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, here's one of the things that, you know, I thought was interesting on this list.
Okay.
Be alone. It actually says the millennial generation prizes community, which is good, but it tends to come at the cost of fearing loneliness. I actually dated a guy who went through this once. Now, are you guys good at, like, being alone, or do you, like, freak out?
Great.
Now, Karen and I definitely are, because we've lived solo for so freaking long. I mean, we both left home pretty early and never returned to live permanently. So we are, but I definitely have friends and siblings and even cousins, everybody else, where they cannot be alone. They don't like it. It makes them uncomfortable. They'd rather just do anything than be alone. And there's so much that comes from sitting in the presence of yourself.
Yes. And then, I can handle it. I, in a lot of ways, prefer being alone. I mean, I've been single for probably pushing the better part of a decade now at this point. No, not quite that much, but we're getting close. And, you know, honestly, I'm like, you know, I'm okay with it. I think back.
That gun in the background.
Oh, yeah. Listen, it's a choice. It's...
I mean, what's going on? it's okay.
The first guy that I ever was in a serious relationship with, I got into that relationship with him after he had broke up with his ex, who they were together for 4 years. They had been split for 3 days, and then he got into a relationship with me. And then after our relationship ended after about 8 months, he felt the need to be with someone so badly, he got into a relationship with two guys at the same time. I mean, you know, and I, you know, this is one of my biggest things, was I was like, why don't you just take the time? Like, there is, like Toya said, so much that you can learn just by being with yourself, and take the time to read good books, you know, get into some good shows on Netflix if that's your thing, you know, get a hobby, do some painting, you know. I mean, I that sounds, but, you know, get a fucking hobby.
He was of the belief you get under, well, two guys to get over one.
I know. I was that devastating of a loss that, you know, there wasn't just one person that could replace me. He needed to.
I totally see that, too.
But, you know, that brings up an interesting point, you know. But anyway, moving on. You guys heard about, you know, this guy who told the police they could not arrest him until he finished his Big Mac. Yeah. Dead serious. I could not make this up if I tried. This actually happened in Ohio. A Brunswick, Ohio man faces several charges after leading police on a car chase over a Big Mac. Randall W. Miller faces charges including failure to comply, OUI, operating while intoxicated, and driving under a suspended license, all because he really wanted a Big Mac. Yeah. I mean, is fast food that addicting?
The question is, did they let him finish?
Right.
I mean,
to answer your question, yes, they did let him finish. According to police, the man apologized and said that he was very drunk, but he wanted to eat his Big Mac before he stopped to let them arrest him. He continued to eat his sandwich during the stop until he was asked to complete the field sobriety test, which naturally he likely failed.
Yeah.
You got problems. That's all I can say. If you really cannot put down that Big Mac. I mean, I think there's something in the food, because I have to say, when I am out driving for my job and I pass by a fast food restaurant, I get that smell of McDonald's in my nose. I have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to stop and, like, shove my face.
Right?
I can't drive on occasion, it's just so much going on in that food. I can't do it. I do crave the fries on occasion, though.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I crave the fries, and I crave. I like those little cheeseburgers with the little onions. I ain't gonna lie. I don't eat it, but I do. If it, I will crave a little cheeseburger every now and then.
I hate it, but I will crave that fillet of fish, man. Like once a year, I gotta have it. It's like I'm a crackhead.
Yeah.
I must have
you know what McDonald's does? You know what they do? They put sugar in their meat, and they put sugar in, like, the buns. And they used to, with the fries, they used to dip them in, like, they used to dip the potatoes in, like beef fat. So that's why they were so addictive. They've changed the recipe since then because it wasn't truly vegetarian. Yeah, they got in trouble.
Yeah.
So now they put a little bit of sugar in there. That's why kids, like little kids, are like, McDonald's! Like if they see McDonald's, they lose their freaking mind. Like they want McDonald's and they're crackheads and they're really addicted. It's not a lie.
Right.
Like it's,
and you
really
know, Nestle makes the fries. Nestle makes the fries, so there you go.
There you go. Nestle also, though, they make a lot of foods. I mean, like, if you really read stuff, they make a lot of foods. It's crazy.
Yeah, Nestle is
that
huge.
That would explain it.
Uh-huh.
Huge. Unbelievable. But speaking of drunken folks, and I'm sure we can all relate to this, although I don't know if anyone of us has actually ever done this before. There was a woman who actually called 911. This happened in Billings, Montana. She was charged with felony drunken driving because she called 911 after she drove and told them she could not get out of her car.
Why did she get out, though?
She was too drunk. She literally called 911 and asked them to send help because she was too drunk to get out of her car.
Wow.
Did she make it home?
It doesn't say.
Man, that needs to be something on your phone to keep you from dialing when you're drunk. That drunk dial thing can just get you in trouble for life.
Well, you know, here would be my question, all right? Like, if I don't know if she made it back to her house or not, and I'm certainly by no means advocating drunk driving, but if that were me and I made it home and I was too drunk to the point to get out of my car, you would think you'd have the sense of, like, well, I'm home. I guess I'll just sleep in the car and wait till I sober up.
Now you're asking a sloppy drunk person that was so drunk she called the cops. You're asking
that person
to be rescued. You're asking her to be rescued. He was messed up.
I've made many a good decisions in a sloppy drunk situation, and one of the decisions has never been to call the police. Like, she
we
was
don't
not
know,
being
we don't know what she drank.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Don't know what she had.
You know what? She was hanging out with Miss Katrina Johnson and had one too many cucumber vodkas, and they will do you dead wrong. All right? They will do you dead wrong.
Oh, man. Yeah, they will.
I
can attest to the dead wrongness of
I can't.
I probably do something like that. Do you know that I have absolutely never in my entire life been drunk? So who knows what I would do if it ever happened.
Seriously?
I am
seriously. She's never been drunk.
Truth.
She's 100%. Like, she's not even lying. I've been drunk, and this girl has never. Like, I've gone on vacations with her. Seriously.
Nope. Won't do it. I have control issues, not with you, but with me. And I think it would creep me out if somebody was telling me all the things I did the night before and I don't remember. That would, like, be a nightmare for me. So I have a one-drink maximum, usually. And it's so sweetened and boiled down. It's like, why are you drinking? Did you just want some Kool-Aid? So
she hasn't drank the right one drink because I've had one sweet drink and literally it landed me on my ass.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I ask, like, people who I'm out with, they know, and so they're like, girl, you can't handle that. Give her that number 5, because...
Yeah, don't give her the Jamba Juice.
Right.
And when I feel a little bit tingly, I stop. I just stop, because I'm like, uh-oh, I don't like this. You know, it's never happened. So I probably would be that person who, like Karen just said, had that sneaky drink. I drove home and called the cops and said, get me out.
See, I don't know. I think I would be the opposite of that. Like, when I get drunk, because I know you've all heard the stories, I tend to get a little bit violent sometimes. I would be the
He's not a happy drunk. He's a fighting drunk.
I'm a fighting
drunk.
It depends.
She's like
There's various degrees. There is a happy point, and at the happy point, that's when I need to stop. But when I go beyond the happy point, that's when I get to the fighting point. I would probably be the fool that would, like, lay down in the seat and start kicking the window until I smashed it out.
You got to destroy things. Why do you have to destroy things? Like, that speaks
I don't know.
To your, that speaks, because this is the thing, liquor to me is truth serum. So whatever happens in that moment really is, like, what is deep inside you, Mike? You need counseling.
Now you sound like
Mama.
What
is he doing?
Why are you destroying? Like, I've never gotten drunk. Like, I got drunk. Like, I will say, I've been around the block at least 3-4 times. Like, I've gotten so drunk. Like, we stumbled our way home. And to this day, the Lord up above must have carried us home because we honestly don't know. Like, we weren't driving, but, like, we were in New York, and we literally stumbled our way home. But I was in, like, I was in places, and I was, like, how did I get out of that? Like, I really, like go, wow, how did I make it? Like, I'm never going to do that. I've drunk, so I scared myself, like, going, oh, my God, I'll never do that again. But the reality is I've never gotten, like, angry, or I've gotten, like, I wanted to fight somebody, or I wanted to destroy things. If anything, I wanted to laugh. I wanted to dance. I may have even wanted to cry, but it was never anger. So that really says something, Mike.
Well, it's not every time, though. I mean, it's like, you know, and I think I said this a couple weeks ago or one of the times I was on, that it really does, or maybe I wrote a blog about it. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was somewhere. you know, it depends on where you're at in your stage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think now most of my issues are pretty much resolved themselves. But, you know, during the one times that I can remember of having those sort of, like, outbursts, there was always something going on.
I call them outbursts.
You know, because I'm like 10 years old and I have outbursts. Whatever was going on was like there was unresolved issues that I tend to be that way. I don't deal with stuff. And, you know, like Karen, what you said with alcohol, it does, it lowers your inhibitions, it brings out the truth. And if there's something that you ain't dealing with, it's just going to find its way out, and it's going to be 20 times worse than it normally would have been. I mean, James is being awfully quiet over there. I'll hear him agreeing on a bunch of stuff.
James gets flirty. He gets flirty when he gets drunk. He likes to kiss, and he likes to flirt, and he likes to hit on boys. That's what James likes to do. He's still happy, though. He's still a happy drunk.
He's a happy, horny drunk.
About it.
He's not a fighter.
I don't get angry. I don't get, you know, I do sometimes get a little self-destructive, just depending on my mood before I drink. But other than that, I'm like, I'm a happy-go-lucky. I will say whatever is on my mind and have no shame.
We've got episodes with James being drunk.
Uh-huh.
You know what, though? This is what I will say. One time James got drunk. And he called in or whatever, and I think it was me and Daisy. And James did, like, he wanted to have a pity party, but we wouldn't let him. We were like, nope, we're not going to let you have a pity party. Like, he did start having, like, a pity party, but we wouldn't let him. But it was, but he was still happy until the pity party started.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah,
you
right?
Have a pity party,
and
okay?
I just did that. Well, no, and I just, my friend Caitlin has never seen me drunk before, and she got to see me drunk like 2 weeks ago. We went out to this chain of bars over in Kansas, and
chain of bars.
We went to like 5 different bars that night. I had 2 beers, and then the rest I had hard liquor. Like I had, well, not really hard liquor. I had vodka, and I had like 7, maybe 8 of those.
Oh, Lord.
And apparently, I think just this, I find the stupidest things hilarious when I'm drunk, when I'm that drunk.
Right.
There was a guy, okay, and it's like, you know, midnight, 12:30 when we're heading back, and I drank a lot really quickly. And we're driving down the road, we stop at a red light, and this guy runs across the street. Well, when we go through the light, we're going down the street, and I look out the window, and this guy has, like, booked it down the street apparently, and I thought us meeting him was absolutely hilarious, and died laughing in the passenger seat of my friend's car. I don't know why it was funny. All I know is that if my friend had a camera that night, y'all would see some very interesting videos on YouTube, because I'm not a whore, but I was getting my whore on the dance floor.
I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry.
I'm not a whore, but I was dancing.
James.
And what's awesome,
James,
though, is
own
that
it.
I was dancing with some
own it, James. Too. Own it. You can't sit here and go, I'm not a whore. Only when I'm drunk. But when James gets drunk, he's real flirty. He's real, you can't own it, James. If you all you are, we're not going to love you any less.
Okay, well, fine. I'm a whore, or whatever. I'm a skank, I'm a whore, whatever. So, because I was on the dance floor. I was dancing with girls. I was dancing with some gay guys. I started dancing with these two straight guys who were all about it. I was, dancing, bumping and grinding straight guys. They didn't get hard or anything, you know. No stranger would, but...
Twerking like Miley Cyrus?
No, I was not twerking like Miley Cyrus. I don't have asthma. But, yeah, I had a good time. And I had a designated driver, so I was smart. And we went to Taco Bell, 1 in the morning, because I was starving. And, yeah. And then I passed out on my floor.
Mm. Wow.
I didn't even make it upstairs. We're sitting on the floor eating, and next thing I knew, it was the next morning, and I was asleep on the floor with Taco Bell wrappers around my face.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, not Taco Bell.
That's so bad.
Okay, yeah. So, Mike, this is what I've been asking for, a year, ever since the year that you've been gone. We have these moments with James and with other people where they have, a confession session, and they really start confessing things that they try to deny. And I was like, we need, soap opera music. We need some soap opera music playing under the confession session. Because I feel it's this moment. I've had them. Everybody's had a confession at some point. So we got to find some. We've got to go find some. Right. And if we give James a bottle of wine, he will confess it all. It just all comes out. It's the most hilarious thing.
And that's all it takes is one bottle? Shoot. Man, I need a whole liquor store.
Yeah, James.
Well, you're not a lightweight like I am.
I'm a lightweight.
3 glasses of wine, and I was floating in D.C. in New York last October.
Oh man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had one bottle. He had two glasses of wine, and he was flirting with everybody. Am I telling the truth, James? James, really will admit it.
You're telling the truth. I'm a man whore. I can't help it. My two sides have alcohol.
At least you own it, damn it.
Yeah, own it.
That needs to be on my warning label. I need to start telling people, with alcohol, I will flirt with you. I don't care what your sexuality is.
Okay. Long as they've been warned.
See, then that way I can't get in trouble for it later. You know, if I warn you beforehand, I can't get in trouble for it later. So.
Right.
Oh,
that's true. Although I can't use that excuse anymore. I feel I've used up all that excuse. I told you not to feed me cucumber vodka. You didn't listen.
Mike begs for the cucumber vodka.
Oh, God, that shit did me dead wrong.
What's the big deal with the cucumber and the vodka? What's going on there? And why
yeah,
did
we
I
will...
pickle juice at a bar once, a couple nights ago? What? Why is there pickle juice up there? What's going on?
Miss Johnson can explain the cucumber vodka thing way more better than I can. I don't even really remember what it tastes like. I just know I drank a whole bottle of it in an hour period, and it was not good.
But that means it was good, though.
Oh, it was
good.
Not good. It ended badly. Like, we lost Mike for a year because of that bottle of vodka.
You make it sound like I died. You make it sound like I went to Lindsay Lohan rehab for a year.
I think you did, Mike.
Shoot.
We all stopped being friends for about a year over that bottle of vodka.
No, but I think she was asking, did it taste good? It did taste good. It did taste good. It went down very easy. A little too easy.
Yeah. But the evil twin came out.
Were you reminiscing?
I wasn't there. I only got drunken text messages.
Yeah, she only got the drunken text messages, but I'm sure there's video or audio somewhere, and it was bad. I found my inner preacher at a gay wedding, and it didn't work out well. Totally fixed that.
That's the part that cracked me up, because, like, of all things, Mike, like, where did that come from, and why? Why were you...
I'm telling you what, sometimes my timing is dead on, other times it could not be more wrong. And that was one of those times.
I don't know, we have to tell you the story another day, Toria. But
yeah.
All of a sudden, Mike, just to give you a brief overview, he was, what were you saying, Mike?
I don't even remember. Bits
allegedly.
And pieces. Something about it's an abomination. I don't even know.
He's screaming at Jeffrey's wedding that the wedding was an abomination.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, let's just say there's nothing more ironic than probably the second gayest person in the wedding screaming that it's an abomination. Figure that one out.
Wow.
Then you understand why I went to Lindsay Lohan rehab for a year.
He was on mandatory rehab.
Did you invite him to your wedding?
I did, but we are not serving cucumber vodka.
No.
Okay.
If I stick with beer, I'll be okay.
And I told him, I said, the great thing is there's going to be a whole lot of Christians in the house, so they'll probably fit right in.
I probably will. I'm going to start my own church. I'll start taking donations.
Right. He'll just join in with the church.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Man. Oh, man. So, yeah.
It's like we all
have
Beckett.
Yeah.
Okay. Bam.
Right,
man,
right.
The trouble we get ourselves into on this show.
The trouble. So
trouble.
I have to thank you, Toy and Ash, for calling in, because it's been always a pleasure having you on the show. I mean, you're a riot. You have to come back more often. We're still waiting for the Toy and Ash Uncensored Radio show.
But I'm
always bring it up every time you come on.
Please, yeah, I've noticed that. But I have so much fun coming on. I really do.
I know. Okay, so what do we need to look out for? Do you have anything going on right now? I know you always are up to something.
Yeah, I just started writing. I am now the VP of Arts and Entertainment for Southern Dallas Magazine and Northern Dallas Magazine. Just met with the editor today, so I will be the arts and entertainment in and around the Dallas area person. And the column is going to be called Toya Told You So, all one word.
Yay!
Very nice.
And it's going to be cute because I'm going to feature the hottest few events and give my take on it, give my spin on it in a very Toya type of way. So, look out for that. That's going to be fun stuff. And it will be on the website as well, which I think is southerndallasmag.com. So that's cool stuff. I'm excited about that. I've been writing, you know, very quietly for a long time, so it'll be nice to do it and get it out there. And it's arts and entertainment, which I love, so perfect.
Perfect. Okay, so the minute you got us closer to the Facebook wall, and all of you, tune in tomorrow. We've got a great show. I don't know what it's about, but it'll be great.
It'll be something good.
Good night, everybody. Thank you, Mike J. Thanks, Jamie.
Good night, everyone.